Welcome to CADcast. I'm your host, Nit Sweeney, and I'm really excited about this episode. I don't think I can really put it into words because we're going to start this week's episode by talking about my all-time favorite video game, something that I grew up on, and that is Pokemon. And I'm sorry if you are not a Pokemon player, if you're not very aware of it, you should be. But this week, one of my colleagues, Tim McDonald, he is joining me on the podcast to talk about something that he made inside of SOLIDWORKS. He made a Pokemon, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world, so I had to get him on. So we start off by, we have to talk about Pokemon for a little bit. I'm sorry. But we do tie it into SOLIDWORKS and different modeling techniques and practices and even ways you can learn. And it's just a really fun conversation. I really had a lot of fun doing it as well as preparing for it. So I hope you guys enjoy this discussion with Kit McDonald. Make sure you guys stay tuned to the very end, because at the end, Kit will give you, I think, one of the most important tips for any SOLIDWORKS user. Trust me, if you've ever had an issue clicking on something, if you've ever had the little funnel icon, you're going to want to hear it. So to say I'm excited about recording this week's episode would be an understatement. I told my guests that I spent a lot of time preparing for this because I get to talk about Pokemon, and I'll get to why in a second. But first, I'd like to welcome Kit McDonald to the podcast. Kit, welcome.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Kit, as I said, we're going to talk about Pokemon, at least to start off the discussion, and we are going to turn this into CAD. It's going to be very, very CAD-centric on this whole thing.
We promise.
But I have to ask you the initial question, something I ask every single guest. What was your very first version of SOLIDWORKS? Because I like your answer better than any answer I've heard so far.
Oh, yeah. So I probably started using 2015. I think it was the EDU version. It was kind of like my senior year of high school. So I knew I was going into mechanical engineering and just wanted to get a head start. So. And yeah, that was it.
And I like that answer the best because that's the same version I started on. And we haven't really talked about this part of what we wanted to go through.
But
what do you remember about 2015 EDU, especially compared to like what we have now? Because being resellers, we've got full access to pretty much any tool that we want. Compare it to what we have now. Just really quick, what do you remember about 2015 EDU?
Wow. So I can hardly remember what I had for lunch yesterday, and you're asking about 2015. Honestly, I could hardly even remember a day that I didn't have all of the tools at my disposal that I have now, like Composer and simulation and everything else that comes with the perks of this job, which is so awesome. I mean, we were talking about it the other day. Can't believe this is my job. I get to talk about Pokemon on a podcast.
I mean, you said your friends don't believe that this is a real job. Make sure you send this to them. Yeah. That way you can say like, hey, watch this or listen to this.
I guess. Yeah. Hear that? See that, Jacob? See?
I'll say the one thing that I remember very vividly about 2015 EDU, and that was doing my engineering homework. I'd call up my dad if I ever needed help because, you know, he works for CATI. I'd be like, hey, can you help me with this modeling question? And he'd roll his eyes because I didn't have access to all the right features. But I also remember every time I had to submit a drawing to my professor for 1182, the drawing had like EDU stamped all over everything.
Oh,
and
sure.
The feature tree had the little cap from the cap and gown on it.
Yeah.
I just remember that.
That's kind of cool, though.
I do like that little touch of like, hey, this is an educational version. It's clear to see. Okay, that's great and all. But I wish you took my version like an hour after I finished my final for 1182. So don't know how worried they are about this really being used in production.
Yeah.
But talking about things that we can do inside of SOLIDWORKS, you can make Pokemon inside of SOLIDWORKS, which is why I wanted to have you on the podcast, because I saw you did a LinkedIn post that was a coughing. And I'll get to coughing in a second, but I do have to ask you, this is a very personal question, something that we've discussed already. What is the best Pokemon of the original 151 from Kanto? And I'm sorry to all of the people that are listening to this going, I don't know anything about Pokemon. Get into Pokemon. I can't encourage that enough.
Yes, for sure. Arceus came out.
Arceus, come on.
Oh, whatever. So I've been thinking about this a lot. The best Pokemon of the original 151. If we weren't doing the original 151, I would have to say Trubbish, because it's literally just a bag of trash, which is ridiculous, and I love it. But of the 151, I would have to say probably Poliwag.
Really?
I I just always loved him. And, you know, you can evolve twice into Poliwrath, and that was just awesome. So, yeah, I just always used him a lot. And also Hitmonchan, that one was pretty. He just looks awesome.
Oh, so. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was going to phrase the question originally. You're going down a dark alley at night. What's the one Pokemon you want at your back? I said this, I think, 2 seconds before I hit the record button. That answer is a Gengar, because...
Yes.
You mentioned he looks like the cat from Alice in Wonderland, except he's also a ghost. Like, what's the one thing you never want to encounter in a dark alley? A ghost.
That.
Yeah, exactly that. But I just put on my screen, because I'm sharing my screen with you, and I think I had 8 answers for what the best Pokemon of the original 151 is. And, like, I love dragons, so Dragonite, Arcanine was, like, when I first got an Arcanine card, I was like, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world. And then a lot of the legendaries and like Gyarados is cool, but originally I settled on a Ditto is by far the best.
Ditto.
Because Ditto. Well,
okay,
can be
that's actually
anything.
Practical. Yeah.
Like, how can you beat me when I can become you?
That is practical. Yeah.
So I think Ditto's the best. Granted, if I'm going into the Elite Four, I'd never have a Ditto with me. I have everything else with me. But a Ditto, true. Ditto's not great in that case, but like, what's the best one? Well, the one that is everyone, if I want it to be.
Very thought out. I appreciate that answer, yeah.
Like I said, I spent a lot of time preparing for this podcast, and this is the most fun I've ever had preparing for a podcast, because I got to go on Cerebi.net to just like scroll for 20 minutes. It was great. But let's shift gears a little bit into CAD, because I don't want to lose every single engineer that's listening to this podcast. You made a coffee inside of Solvers, which was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And for those of you that don't know, the only way I can think to describe a coffin for someone that has no idea what he looks like, other than just look it up, he looks like a whoopee cushion with a lot of little outlets and then gas plumes around him.
Yeah, that's a pretty accurate description.
You made that in SolidWorks. So first, how did you come up with doing that?
I've been seeing the Pokemon new game everywhere, and also, somebody else on LinkedIn had posted, it was either a Koffing or a Magnemite or one of them that they had created within SolidWorks. And I was like, I could do that. I could do better, I think, actually. And the way that they had done it, they had used strictly like solid features, and it looked very structured, I guess you could say, and not very organic.
That's a good way to say it.
And I was just like, I could do better, you know? So
I think
tried my hand at it.
The hardest thing about Koffing is that he has those gas plumes around him. Like, you can generally make the randomness of the different outlets around him. But the hardest thing is, like, that gas, it has to look organic. Because you and I were talking about this originally in our discussion. Like,
yeah.
The hard part about the gas is it has to be random. If there's a clear pattern to the gas around him, that ruins the whole purpose of gas. Like, gas is random. Like, that's the whole thing of it. How did you do that? How did you create random looking gas? Because it actually does look very organic in the model that you made.
Yeah, it's actually, I don't think I even mentioned this to you, but part of the gas that I created there was actually made in an X shape. So yeah, I realized I hadn't shared that with you before, but that's a really great way to get those organic shapes. So I figured, why not use that? Another way that I kind of created variation in that gas was using SolidWorks Flex, letting me twist and bend those bodies, those multi-bodies, very easily. So yeah, X shape and Flex, I guess.
That's pretty cool. You were able to tie in like some of those 3D experience apps to your normal SolidWorks and be able to work together, which I think is something I didn't plan on mentioning on this show, but having the ability to go kind of between the two systems, like, it's not, if you're in SolidWorks, you're only in SolidWorks. If you're in Etch-Shape, you're only in Etch-Shape. You can use them in parallel, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Etch-Shape is a delightful addition to your toolbox if you do have organic shapes that you're needing to create. So 100%, you they're not cordoned off, right? It's not two separate tools, really. It's an extension of one another.
So did you use this as an excuse to kind of learn a little bit about Etch-Shape, a little bit that you didn't know about it, or were you already pretty comfortable with it?
I was fairly comfortable with it, and I had used it a couple of times before, but everything's a learning experience for sure, especially when we're talking about tools that are so dynamic as X-Shape and I guess 3D experience in general at this point. So, yeah, it was definitely a learning experience there. Also, I had never really used the Flex tool in SolidWorks.
Yeah.
So that was actually probably the more extraneous learning circumstance there.
I'm only vaguely familiar with Flex. I don't think I've really seen it, which I think just speaks to how dynamic SolidWorks is. Like, I've got my CSWE, I got it years ago, but if you said like, hey, what's every feature in SolidWorks, I might get 25% of them because there's so much going on. And one of those abilities that we have inside of SolidWorks is to render stuff out. And I wanted to get to that next because you can make anything that you want inside of SolidWorks. It's pretty cool. But the fact that you made this where you've got a coffin and then you did a Diglett, and they both looked very much in place. Like, you made a scene for them and you rendered them out and everything looked pretty natural. It was like, oh, I think your caption was a wild coffin appeared. And I can see myself playing the game of like, oh my gosh, a wild coffin. It appeared. I can go catch it or kill it. How did you
faint?
Faint. Yes. There's no killing in Pokemon. It's just you knock it out and then it comes back to life magically afterwards. I don't know. But you used SolidWorks Visualize, which you said you didn't really have a lot of familiarity with. So can you kind of talk about that and creating that really cool scene? Because like I said, it made me feel like I was playing the game when I saw your LinkedIn post.
Well, yeah, that's how I wanted it to feel. And if you noticed, I even put it on a path.
Yeah.
So that like it looked like you were really just walking along the path and found it. But yeah, I didn't have a whole lot of experience with Visualize, and I wanted to learn. And I didn't want to use like one of the just like random training data sets because it just seemed a little bit boring. Honestly, I wanted to try something a little bit more fun. Mm-hmm. So I decided to take a stab at a Pokemon. Started with coffin. Yeah.
Something you mentioned to me is one of the reasons you wanted to do that is like learning and training. I don't care how good of an instructor you have, it can still get dry.
Yeah.
It can get a little bit boring.
Yeah.
Because it's 3D modeling and you're like, well, I have my application. Okay. I made a sphere. Okay. I made a cylinder. Okay. How interesting can you possibly make this? You tried to make learning fun though.
Yeah. Like one of the, if you just look up like how to learn Visualize, some of the little tutorials you might find are really pretty dry. They're very like, make this sphere, apply these different appearances, duplicate, and you know, it's just, yeah, it's not like I want to look at that all day, right? So I wanted to make something, you know, maybe I can print this, put it up on my wall or something.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely do that. You could submit that to, oh gosh, who makes Pokemon? I know Game Shark or something does the like Emerald and Ruby and Sapphire, but you can submit it to, I guess it's probably Nintendo. You can send this stuff into them and like they might go, oh, that's really cool. Like, I would not be shocked at all. Yeah. You could definitely make this rendering somewhere and hang it on your wall. And you should. Please do. I don't see it on the wall behind you, so you definitely need to.
You're right. You're right. You go right beneath the Bearcat over there for sure.
We had a whole discussion. I think that looks more like a Bobcat, but that's for another time. I want to get into another part of this conversation.
Real quick before we move on from like learning, making learning fun, just gamifying things in general. Like you and me, we teach SolidWorks like all day, every day for weeks on end at times, right? And you know, for us, even teaching it day in day out like that is gonna get a little dry for us. So it's not just for the learner themselves as well. So sometimes the teacher needs some variation as well.
I mean, it's a cool way of presenting something that, especially if you're going to get these millennial engineers, Gen Z engineers, you're going to get those of us like our age. You're going to get more people like us straight out of college that are going to SolidWorks Essentials for the first time. And they're going to look at it and go, okay, I get it. Yeah. I know this. Like the first time I did SolidWorks Essentials, I mentioned this to you. My boss, who's now our head of tech support, he had me go through the entire Essentials manual before the class. And then I get to class and Keith Rice is my instructor. He's a great instructor. He knows what he's doing. And he sent an email to my dad, I think on like day three of Essentials. I was blowing through everything, paying half attention. And he emails my dad and goes, yeah, Nit's doing really well with this. I think he's found a way to get a Call of Duty emulator on his computer. And he's just playing that the whole time, which, I mean, you got to make it fun. You got to make it interactive. And that really is a big thing. Make it fun for us, because I do PDM demos every single day. At some point, I've got to make this interesting. So if I can show, like, and here's a Pokemon that I made inside of SolidWorks, or that kit made, well, suddenly this is really fun for me, and I'm going to have a lot of fun talking about that.
Yeah, and it keeps them engaged as well.
Definitely. And one of the things that we try to instill in people is, like, best practice, and how should you approach different problems? And I asked you when you first posted that image, I said, how did you do this? Because you actually, you said, yeah, the other guy, I looked like he did solids and it didn't look very organic. You use surfacing as well as like X-Shape and Flex to do all of this. What made surfacing the best tool that you could pick for SolidWorks? See, I'm gonna tie this into like actual work stuff. We're not just going to talk Pokemon.
Well, dang, I didn't know we were talking about work.
I know, I'm sorry.
So surfacing really lends itself to making those organic shapes and variation very well. One of the things that I love about surfacing in general is the fact that it is inherently a multi-body. Mm. This is something I talk about a lot with like SolidWorks user groups. Working with multi-bodies is so, so easy. It's so much more intuitive, I think, than trying to instill everything into one singular body all at once. And so that was kind of part of the reason that I had went with surfacing. The other reasons were the easy, I'm not sure what to call that, the easy push and pull nature of surfacing, where you can, you know, dip in internal to the body itself. And, and if you look at coffee, and I kind of did that a couple of times with the, I don't know what to call them, the spouts on his body. That was what really lended me to running into the surfacing type of workflow.
Surfacing's a really cool one. I don't know if you've taken the CSWP surfacing test yet. I personally thought that was the easiest of all of them. Well, drawings was pretty easy too. But I actually really liked the surfacing, because I think you're definitely right with the, oh, it's inherently a multi-body. It's a whole lot easier to conceptualize that, especially for like a coffin and something like that, and for a Pokemon. Yeah. But surfacing is not everything you should always use, because, you know, there are reasons why you might want to use sheet metal or weldments. And I actually wanted to talk about that too, because picking the right tool in SolidWorks is always a really, really important thing. If we grab the wrong tool, if we try to make a coffin out of a sphere and then just some extrusions, it's probably not going to look quite as organic. So what do you think kind of leads us down different paths of picking that right tool? How can we try to pick that right tool? Is it all about the application? Is it all about the manufacturability? What lends itself to like, hey, this is going to be a weldment. Hey, this will be a sheet metal. How can we kind of get there?
Yeah. I love how you kind of preface that with surfacing is great, but it does have its limitations, whereas, you know, like surfacing is zero thickness. There is no material properties available for surfacing, so you would need to bring that into a solid. As far as weldments versus sheet metal and things like that, I think it is all about the application, because you had mentioned in there application and manufacturability. Well, actually, technically, I think that's kind of the same thing, right? Because if you're actually looking at your application is, okay, this needs to go out to my water jet to be cut, right? Well, that's your application. You're going to be needing to use something in that application that lends itself to that process. In the water jet case, I would probably that probably lends itself to sheet metal, right? Being able to flatten everything out very nice and easy. I really think it is all about the application.
What do you use when you're not really sure of the tool? So you said you hadn't really used SolidWorks Flex at all. How did you end up settling on that? Because I think the hardest thing about this is like, I don't know every tool inside of SolidWorks. I mean, we covered that a little bit ago. how do you find the right tool? Even if you're not really sure what you're looking for, you're just like, I need something that does something to make something better. Like, I mean, we get vague in our own heads.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, the SolidWorks help files are a big help. No pun intended. But yeah, also the search bar is actually a huge help to me as well. If I'm literally stuck and I don't know what to use in SolidWorks, I can just use that search bar and search up, hey, I want to flex this thing, flex this body. And turns out, hey, there's actually a tool named exactly that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are two ways that I typically go about it.
Do you use the command search on the upper right of SolidWorks, or do you use the help file search? Or do you use both?
The command search within SolidWorks, which is actually a little known fact, one and the same. If you just, if you wanted to search the help files from that same search bar in SolidWorks, you could do that as well.
Yep. Hit that little drop down. You can choose from, I want to say it's like five different places you can search, but the command search and the help file, I think, are the two best ones that I have found. And I love when I find the command and I hit the little eyeball just to find out, like, where is this for the next time I want to use it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Just don't move your mouse. Otherwise, it won't do it. Like, hold your mouse steady. I think that...
Yes. No hands.
I can't remember if Brandon and I talked about it or Chris Snyder and I talked about it. I talked about it recently on a podcast. Like, SolidWorks is designed to make it so you have to move your mouse as little as possible. Like, be patient, because then you can use breadcrumbs. You can use the little checkbox that appears by your mouse.
Yeah. Wow, that's actually a great way to put it. It's designed to let you move your mouse as little as possible. I had never actually internalized that. I knew that. I just hadn't, you know, thought about it like that. Yeah.
That I didn't come up with it. I won't take credit for it. Someone said that to me and I went, ooh, I'm going to use that. Because, like, we want this tool to be as easy to use as possible. That's the whole goal here. So find what you're looking for. Move your mouse as little as possible. When you're done with something, you shouldn't have to go across your screen. Because if you've got a large 4K monitor, that's a long way you've got to go. And you might have to pick on a little tiny checkbox. It's a lot easier if you just put the one that's at your mouse.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, Kit, a lot of the job that you do, you're very similar to how I work, which is, like, I do a lot of pre-sale stuff. And you do a lot of pre-sale stuff, but not on PDM. Instead, you and I both overlap on DriveWorks, as you've kind of got up to speed on that. But you also do a lot of SolidWorks pre-sales, so people that don't have SolidWorks, maybe need to augment their SolidWorks in some way. I want to ask you, what are some of the really cool challenges that you run across with customers when they say, hey, I need a tool that does this? What is this that they're really... that they're really looking for, or something that kind of pushes them towards SolidWorks?
Yeah. So, one of the things I'm always looking for as far as application goes is, kind of this ladder of complexity. Whereas if I have a customer who is looking at, you know, maybe they're just a machine shop, right? And they're just getting their models in from customers or vendors, and they're just making the parts. They're not doing any real design or anything, right? Really, all they need is some type of viewer. And, you know, maybe eDrawings is going to be just fine for them. Maybe they're doing some slight design for manufacturability, right? Maybe like adding undercuts or flattening out a sheet metal part. That's fine. Maybe just standard is fine for them. Whereas if they're getting into a little bit of simulation, they're probably going to need to bump up to premium. So that's what I'm really looking at as far as SolidWorks and the application and the fit and function of SolidWorks. And what I think really kind of sets SolidWorks apart is the multi-CAD nature of SolidWorks. So There's a tool called 3D Interconnect within SolidWorks that allows you to open up basically any type of 3D model that you could want. Because let's be honest, not everybody is using SolidWorks.
They should.
Some people are. They should. That's all. That's true.
Little
but you know, we need to interface with people that are, you know, maybe wrongly using Inventor. Or Rhino or PTC, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that's a huge one for me, that multi-CAD nature.
Yeah. And I just learned like a week and a half ago, I had one of our customers send me a CAD kernel thing. And 3D Interconnect is actually like how that all works. If it's a very similar kernel, then it makes it like load the parts up a whole lot quicker. If you're curious about CAD kernels, to the listeners and I guess to you, Kit, if you haven't read into them a whole lot, really interesting read. Just like why CAD kernels matter and why it's hard to change a CAD kernel, but really interesting stuff. But I do like the 3D Interconnect because, especially, I remember, I think that was like 2016 or 2017, they really, really improved it. And you could open up these models and the feature recognition was really, really clean. The surfacing, the repair bodies was fantastic. And I was able to start using these things because like customers would send me imported parts and I'd be able to say like, oh yeah, run this tool, run these fixes and you'll be good to go. And a lot of customers were really happy about that. I love 3D Interconnect. I think that's one of the best features.
Me as well. Yeah.
So I think the worst feature, And I prefaced this in my overall intro. I said, stay tuned for a bonus tip from Kit. And Kit, this is the one thing, I do this all the time. You probably do this all the time. Everybody that uses SolidWorks, if you've used it for more than an hour and a half, you've had your little cursor, and then suddenly you get like a little funnel over it, a little purple funnel. Kit, what is that? And how the heck do we get rid of it?
Yeah. So this is something that the bugs the heck out of me sometimes. If you've ever hit V, E, or X on your keyboard before and you see that little purple filter pop up next to your mouse, that is what's called a selection filter. And it is going to do exactly that. It's only going to let you select specific things. I just wanted to mention this because, you know, on tech support and on different customers, they always have this issue. So if you're ever seeing that little purple filter, all you have to do is hit F6 and that will go away. F6. Just so you know.
Make sure you click F6. It seems like a really poor design by SolidWorks that out of the box, the E key would turn that on. E is the most commonly used letter in the English language. Right. Why would they make it something that then makes your SolidWorks impossible to use? Like I have literally had times where it's been, I don't remember what this is. I don't remember how to turn it off. I close SolidWorks and reopen it to get it to go away.
Yeah. Yeah, I highly recommend if you are opening a fresh install of SolidWorks, go into your keyboard shortcuts and immediately change those.
If you need a selection filter, they can be very useful, especially when you're like working with assemblies and trying to mate stuff together. It is useful in that case. Outside of that, I think it's a ridiculous thing. I don't like them. They make my life harder more often than they make it easier. So I'd rather it be harder to find.
Facts. Yes.
Well, Kit, as I said at the beginning of this, this was one of the most fun podcasts I've ever had prepping for because we got to talk about Pokemon for a solid 10 minutes. And if you ever want to get on again to talk about Arceus and how that game is now very different than the original ones, because you and I have had a team chat going for days about those differences and how it's not the same thing. If you want to get on, we'll try to find a way to tie that into CAD. That way you can continue to do something that's like, yes, it really is my job to talk about Pokemon and make Pokemon, because that's a pretty cool thing to be able to do.
It is.
Kit, thank you again so much for joining me. I really, really appreciate it. And I hope, even if you people listening don't know Pokemon, I hope that you at least got a lot out of this because SolidWorks is such a flexible tool. It's so flexible that you can make a random looking Pokemon like a coffin. You can also make a conveyor belt because everybody seems to make conveyor. lots of flexibility. Kit, thank you again for joining me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, everybody. That's all I've got for this week. So I will talk to you again next week. See you.